Welcome back to the show. I have been corresponding for some time with a lovely woman, and I tell that from her emails, named Myra Richardson, about an issue that is sadly ignored in the landscape of cities, countries, little towns. She is the president and founder of Dying to Teach, the killing of Mary Eve Thorson. Myra, it's great to meet you face to face.
Yes.
What is your background? Before we get to the real issue here, who are you?
Well, I used to be a teacher. I was a teacher for a number of years. And I'm not teaching any longer because I'm on disability now.
Right.
But I was a teacher for a long time.
In Chicago?
Yes.
Public schools?
Yes, for the most part.
How did you find the teaching lifestyle when you were teaching?
I loved it. I taught for the city colleges for a short time.
Yeah.
And then I taught for alternative schools
mm-hmm.
for a while. And I loved it. I loved the kids. I just loved the experience of teaching.
One of the things.
But it was difficult.
Of course it's difficult and getting more difficult by the day and the
yes.
year and the budget cut and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have to believe that most people, and I know many, who go into teaching go in it for the most wonderful reasons in the world, that you can instruct and inform and in many ways take care of young lives.
Yes.
Don't you think that's a common motivation for teachers?
I think so, too. I think that... Well, if you go into the profession, that has to be the primary reason why you would.
Right.
Because you want to change lives. You want to impact young people. And you just feel it's necessary to do.
It is getting, as you alluded to, it mm-hmm. is getting harder and harder and harder. And one of the... There is a film. I'm going to give you all the information about how to watch this and get in touch with Myra Richardson. But there is a sort of quiet problem in schools across this country, don't you think? That
yes.
is, and it's not new, but I think it's really intensified over, let's say, what do you think, the last decade, the last 15 years?
I would say so, and maybe it's gone even further back than that. I just think because the subject matter is so disturbing, it's not something that persons want to talk about.
Right.
Intentionally, though.
I agree.
I think it's intentional that it's not spoken about, and it needs to be, and that's why I'm grateful you decided to let me
speak. It's my
pleasure.
You were on ABC, and you've done a lot of it, but you're right. The problem we are talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the bullying of...
Teachers.
I think it's gotten more intensified in this sort of geared up where life in schools is all about testing.
Yes.
That's part of the problem, too.
That's a huge part of the problem.
Part of the problem is that many principals and, other teachers bully. And it's, I suppose the theory is, well, if you're not tough enough to take it, you should go to another school or something. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, the issue is, though, with the bullying of teachers by, of course, other educators and primarily by the administration.
Do you find that the bullying does take place? And I'm not bum-wrapping all principals and not...
No, and neither am I.
No, I know that.
No.
But that's the boss of the school.
Yes. Yes. And I don't want to say sadly, but... Sadly, to a large degree, that's where the bullying is coming from.
Yeah.
It's coming from persons that are in control of the institution. And what's really disturbing to me is that when you hear about things happening within the school, shootings and your children being massacred, you don't always have to be concerned that the harm is going to come from outside of the institution. Sometimes the monster is already there when you leave your children
within
the school.
Boy, that is very, very well put. That's very well put. I have to think, too, though, it's not germane to your film, but that some of the bullying takes place on the part of parents. who will be critical of, you know, if their kid is not testing well, who are they going to blame? You know what I mean? Who's to blame?
Well, to some extent that might be true, but as far as this issue is concerned, the parents, I mean, parents are going to have something to say because they have a right to.
Sure.
Those are their children. There might be a better way of stating some things. But this issue has to do with what's happening with the teachers and with the administration.
Not
with the parents.
Right. Let's talk about Mary Eve Thorson.
Yes.
How did you know this person?
I didn't know Mary initially. I received an email from someone who said, you need to read this story. And there was an article that was written by Becky Schlickerman that came out on the 1st of January in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about Mary Eve and her suicide, that she had taken her life on Thanksgiving in 2011.
Just a month or so before her birthday, which came on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
How did she commit suicide?
She stood in front of a semi.
That, just on the face of it, is so horrifying.
Yes, it was horrifying. So when I read the article, I was horrified, and I was very hurt by it because I'm reading about what happened, but what touched me even more than the fact that Mary had taken her life was the fact that she had left this very extensive suicide letter stating the reasons why she wanted to do that. Because of the harm that was being done to the teachers within the institution, because of the deplorable condition of the school, and because of the children that she said were being treated like dollar signs.
Mm.
And she wanted it to stop. She wanted someone to do something about it. And she didn't want her death to be in vain. So I realized that it wasn't a suicide, it was a sacrifice.
Oh, interesting. Well put.
And that's what other teachers thought that reached out to her parents after they read the article.
Where did she teach?
Cottage Grove Middle School in District 169.
Yeah. And this, her death, her suicide, touched you in a remarkably profound way.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you got, whether it's from God or something else.
From
you got,
God, I believe.
You got, that's fine. You got a real sense of mission here.
Yes, I did. Initially, I wanted to reach out to her parents to give my condolences only.
That's all, yeah.
Yes, because I thought it was necessary. They deserved that. I knew they were hurting. I have children and grandchildren, so I didn't understand that type of pain, but I knew that it was devastating. But when I felt compelled to do something, because I think it's one thing to say something is wrong, and it's another thing to say, okay, what am I going to do on my own to try to rectify it?
Yeah.
And that's when I contacted Becky Schlickerman, and I asked for information on Mary's family. And she contacted John and Cherry Thorson, Mary's parents. And I asked her dad if I could tell her story in the form of a documentary.
Mm.
And he was like, how much will that cost? And I said, nothing. And then I got off of the phone and I told my sister what I wanted to do. And she said, you must be out of your mind.
That's going to cost some money.
You have no experience. Well,
yeah.
I had
you had
no experience.
You had never been a filmmaker.
I had never used a camera. So I just borrowed my daughter's palm cam and I watched documentaries. And I taped my sister doing things or my grandchildren. And I thought about what I wanted to do. And I wrote out questions, and I asked one of my friends if they would get me a ticket to go to Moline, where Mary's family lived.
Yeah.
And he said yes, and he got me my ticket for $89, and I went, and her family was gracious, and I stayed with them for 3 days. And I interviewed them and I filmed them and I talked to Mary's brother, friends, teachers within the district, teachers outside of the district. Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to blow off the commercials till the end here. I'm just going to keep this. This is really too interesting. One of the great things about being a first-time filmmaker is you aren't burdened with a lot of expectations.
Oh, I was.
Whose expectations, though? You wanted to tell a story. You didn't say, well, it has to be done this way or it has to be done that way or it has to be done this way. I think there's a real freedom in that.
Well, I did. I'm trying to think of this film, this documentarian's name. I believe it's Leslie Woodhead.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided to do it, I wanted to get some help. I didn't want to do it myself because I wanted it to be done properly. And so I wrote to him and his credentials were, amazing. And I told him about Mary and I said, would you be interested in doing this for her parents? And he said, well, I think that this needs to be told, the story, but I have a lot on my plate. He said, but why don't you do it? And I said, because I have no experience.
Because I don't know how.
And I'm poor.
right.
He said, well, you don't have to have money. You don't have to have fancy equipment. What you have to have is conviction of purpose. And your heart needs to be in the right place to do it.
Yeah.
And if you have that,
well,
you can tell the story yourself.
You knew you had that, didn't you?
I hoped I had that because I knew it was going to be a hard story to tell.
Were there some awkward moments for you where you were kind of emotionally overwhelmed because you're talking to the parents of this poor woman and you're talking to her colleagues and teachers, and it's an intensely emotional and tragic story? Did you ever feel overwhelmed, Myra?
Yes, I felt overwhelmed, I think, because her parents were so gracious. Considering what they'd been through.
Sure.
Mary had only been gone for maybe 2 or 3 months at the time. And so they were devastated, but they were so welcoming. And they were so ready to embrace me and just pour everything out to me, which meant that they had to trust me. They trusted that I would tell their daughter's story and let the world know that this wasn't just exclusive to District 169, that they were being reached out to by teachers all over the country who felt, I think, an allegiance to Mary because of why she allowed herself
to
die.
Because of the letter.
Yes.
Because of the letter that she wrote, her sort of suicide note, but also suicide note and kind of a call to action.
Yes, a call to action.
Don't you think?
Yes, I definitely do.
What has been the response to the film?
Well, it's funny because, well, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. There was a teacher from Nevada, and she initially I was making copies of the film at home. And I was mailing them to anybody that requested the copy. And I didn't want to charge anything for it because I felt as if I'd be making money off of Mary's death.
Ugh.
So I was just kind of sending it out without asking for anything. And it got to the point where I couldn't do it any longer.
Yeah, you couldn't afford to do it.
I couldn't afford to do it. And a teacher wrote to me, this teacher, in a panic and said, my colleague and I have been waiting for the film. Would you please get it out to me because he killed himself? He shot himself in the head, and he had sent an email to the principal saying that he wanted to say goodbye.
Ugh.
And the principal threatened the teachers and said, if the press asks anything about this man, if you say anything, you're going to be terminated.
Fired,
Yes. So she said, would you please get the film to me?
Mm.
And I told her yes. And I was so ashamed that I hadn't been honest about the fact that I couldn't afford to send the copies on my own that I spoke with a friend who said, Myra, why don't you put it on Vimeo? And if you do that, then you can just shoot off the link to the film whenever somebody requests it. And so that's what I did. And
you
so
are
I'm
just telling you, you are a remarkable woman, Myra Richards. And I got to tell you, because this is a story. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, write this down. You can go to teachersformary.com. Teachersformary.com.
Well, it's teachersformary.org.
.org, okay.
Yes, teachersformary.org.
And that'll give people a link to the Vimeo?
Yes.
I think it's something that, I've seen it, and I think it's something that all teachers need to see. I especially think it is something that all school administrators need to see, too.
And I think parents need to see it.
Indeed.
I think they need to understand what's happening when they leave their children in school.
Yeah. One of the reasons we probably could agree on this that, you know, teen suicide is a horrible problem. It's a,
yes.
It's a serious problem. It's epidemic. But that is one reason why this problem, and I think this is becoming a much more, you know it better than anybody.
Yes.
This is becoming an increasing problem.
Yes, it is.
Is the bullying of teachers forcing teachers to at least quit their jobs, even
yes.
if they love their jobs, and at worst, stand in front of a semi-truck and kill themselves?
Well, yes. I mean, as I was preparing for the film, there were teachers that were reaching out to me that wanted to take part in the documentary, which would have been impossible because then it would have turned into a miniseries.
Right, exactly.
But if I could have done it, I would have. But the stories they were telling about the miscarriages, about ingesting powerful antidepressants, about praying before the day started in school with other teachers, praying that they would get through the day.
Ugh. It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And it was happening in front of the kids in a lot of cases. They were being led from one classroom to another by the teachers so that they wouldn't hear what was going on, even though they still did hear it.
Myra Richards, and you were moved by a story you saw, and you investigated that story, and this has become your life now, hasn't it?
Yes. I made a promise to Mary's parents that I wouldn't allow her to die in vain. And it's been very difficult because I'm older. And I'm poor.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one that's working hard for teachers and to make this issue known.
Right.
But something needs to be done, and I can't thank you enough for letting me come on here and speak for
teachers. But you still must feel, well, I'll do more for you too, but you must feel like a voice in the wilderness. I mean, I think that people are starting to listen.
They are starting to listen, but I think you can't know about a situation until you know about a situation. And if teachers are given a forum, ideally a huge arena where teachers feel secure and feel that they can speak with honesty and with passion and without fear of retaliation, I think it would be huge for teachers.
It would also,
I hope that happens one day.
Myra, it would also be huge for kids, too.
Yes.
These are the people who are in charge of their lives. It is an honor to meet you.
It's an honor being here.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to teachersformary.org. It will give you a lot of information, but it will give you a link to the film.
Yes.
And I will see you again. I'm going to write about you. I don't know what I'm going to do, but this is a pretty... the fact that you just felt this calling and you were giving the thing away and you felt... And you say it came from God, and maybe it did come from God.
I think it came from God.
That's all I can tell you. Myra, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you, too.
Oh, don't be silly, correspond. It's a great cause. It's a great cause, a big one, that is, and the cause is getting louder, too,
I hope
as time goes
well,
by.
Well, now, today,
good.
It is, too.
Good. It's
a
pleasure to meet you.